Hello, everybody, and
Italian
welcome
about them
to the
Gloria
NYPD Blue
experiments.
Balls Season 1, Episode 18, Zeppo Marx Brothers.
We're back with Warriors Talk with Kirk and Kyle.
We're cutting that out. We're not talking about the Warriors.
So this one has Anna Gunn from
Breaking
Bad in it, / Deadwood.
Anybody who watches the first season of NYPD Blue and gets to this episode will realize that Anna Gunn, winner of, I believe, Emmy for Outstanding Female Performance.
Yeah, she's won, I think, two.
She is in as just a one-off. Well, not a one-off, because she comes back, but she's just in it as a character. Just.
She's a prostitute, right? Kimmy.
No, I don't know if she's a prostitute. I know that she's, like, that one dude's girlfriend. Basically, Sipowicz and Kelly bring in a guy with a bag over his head.
Yep.
And you find out through dialogue that he is a witness against some pretty bad dudes.
Yeah.
And he's in protective custody, and he's trying to get out of protective custody because he thinks they're going to find a way to kill him anyway.
Well, I don't think he wants to. I don't think he wants to be a witness anymore. I think that's part of it, too. I think he's trying to get out of. I think he's trying to get out of being a witness because he feels like people are going to kill him, so he wants to get out of town.
Yeah, basically, the guy was. He gave an anonymous tip. And then, if I read the story correctly, this witness came in because he was an anonymous tip, and then they figured out who he was and brought him in for questioning, and they told him all he would need to do was pick out the guys. And then and then they would get the confessions, or they would get the evidence needed that he wouldn't have to testify. Turns out they didn't get the stuff that they needed, so he had to testify, and he doesn't want to testify because these dudes are bad dudes. And he's convinced that they'll have him killed somehow.
Yeah.
So he and his girlfriend Kimmy, well, she comes into the picture because he slips out of custody from, like, the night crew. I don't know, like, it's these two other detectives.
I don't think they're night crew. I think they're not policemen. I think they're higher up. They're part of, like, the DA or something, because their job is to watch him and make sure that he, like, comes to the trial, basically.
And while they're in their custody, while he is in their custody, his name's Nicky, he gets out of...
Isn't his name Zeppo?
No, Zeppo is the guy that kills him.
That's right.
When he is in their custody, he gets out of the car and books it, and those guys don't report it right away because they think they can go find him. It's something that Sipowicz and Kelly, like, would do if it was their episode about them. It's something they would do to avoid getting the heat, but they would be successful and they'd be heroes in the end. But since these guys are just, you know, they're in the barrel to get shit on, they let the guy go. The guy meets up with his girlfriend, they try to arrange leaving town, and he gets shot in front of a bar.
Yeah.
So an investigation is going on who did the shooting, because if they can connect it to those guys, then they have him dead to rights, because those guys basically put somebody up to murdering a witness to their trial, so then they'll definitely go for that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking into it, and as it turns out, his girlfriend, who he's told this whole story to, Kimmy, she knows a little bit of information as to who shot him. But she thinks that the same thing's going to happen, where she points the guy out and then she has to testify because they won't let it stick. And then the same thing will happen to her. So it brings kind of like this whole moral question of, do you lie to your witnesses to get them to say what you want? But
yeah,
then
because
push them.
Isn't there a scene where John's ex-wife is, like, bitching, like, I'm not gonna do this, like, that's not fair, but that's not right, and then Sylvia Costas comes in and is just, like, lays it down, and then that girl's like, you lied to them, and she's like, no, I didn't lie to them, I just did my job, sweetie, or something like that.
No, basically, yeah, she said, you know for sure that we'll have to make her testify if it doesn't work out. And she said, I told her I would do everything in my power to make sure she wouldn't have to testify. That doesn't necessarily mean she won't.
Yeah.
And then there's that moral gray area, and then she goes, well, welcome to reality, is what Costas basically says. Like, this is our job, and if you're not willing to do it, like, then you better just get out of it.
And then, during that time, Mike Roberts comes back.
Yeah, that was...
He's trying to be a private detective. And so he asks John Kelly if he has any private work for him. And earlier in the episode, his ex-wife comes to him and says, hey, I feel like I'm being stalked.
Yeah.
I feel like people are following me. It just, something doesn't feel right. Can you take a look at it? So Kelly takes a look at it, and he finds out that she's starting to date somebody new. And this is where, okay, so I have a question for you. Because I remember this scene as, like, he starts asking her, like, where do you stay? Do you stay at his place? Where does he live? And then she gets all pissed off because she thinks he's trying to, like, butt into her personal life.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was trying to butt into his her personal life.
No, and I think that's how it comes off.
Yeah, but I think she kind of overreacts. Cause I think he was just trying to help. And he was just trying to get all the info. Because then he even calls the new boyfriend and says, hey, give me a call back. I'd like to talk to you. And then the new boyfriend comes into the precinct. And she gets all pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't bothered by his response to her. Because he was basically like, look, you asked me to look into this. If you got a problem with it, then go fuck yourself. Don't ask me for help.
Yeah, basically.
Well, which I kind of enjoyed.
Well, because that whole little mini storyline, it culminates to Kelly and Sipowicz talking, where Kelly says, look, here's what my wife did. She comes in and she says, hey, I think I'm being stalked. So I asked what her habits were, and she has a new boyfriend. Sipowicz was like, okay, she has a new boyfriend. He's like, so I asked, do you stay with him? Like, what does he do? And then I asked for his information to call him, see if he has any enemies. Like, maybe he has an ex-wife or something. Or, like, an ex-girlfriend that's crazy. And he...
money or something, yeah.
And he comes into my office. I didn't call him in. I asked for, like, a phone conversation. He comes into, like, our work, and we start talking. So I asked him some standard questions. And then she comes in and goes, I can't believe you dragged my boyfriend down here. And he responded with, if you don't want me to help, don't ask me to help.
Yeah, which I was totally fine with. Like, she kind of, like... I mean, I guess she's under a lot of stress if someone's trying to kill her.
She didn't know someone was trying to kill her yet, though.
True, but, I mean, if you feel like you're being stalked, like, that's kind of...
Well, what's happening is here's her problem. The only cop that she can go to is her ex-husband. And when a cop is looking into, like, a stalking or someone being followed, they have to ask the questions about your personal life. It's just a fact. But she thinks...
I think she could have gone to Andy.
She's not good enough friends with Andy. They were married...
So they know each other pretty well.
They were married when Andy was in the bottle.
Still knows her.
No, I don't think that's possible. I don't think she could go to anybody else, so she went
I don't think you're possible.
Because you're telling me that if you married a cop... First off, imagine you're a woman. It's not hard. You already have tits. You... We're married to a dude.
Do you feel good about that one?
I do. I feel great about it. I was waiting for the thunderous applause. So, you were married to a guy, and that guy's a cop. That means all of his friends are cops, not yours. Then you get divorced. You're not going to go to his friends to ask for help before you go to him. That would be awkward, because then he'll call you and say, hey, why didn't you come to me and ask for help? I'm a cop.
Okay, fair enough, but why didn't he go to, like, LaCalcy? Or she go to, like, LaCalcy? Like, there's women cops. Why not talk to a woman about it? Like, why go to your ex-husband?
Well, she can't talk to LaCalcy because LaCalcy's been fucking her ex-husband.
But she doesn't know that. All I'm saying is, if she's gonna bitch that he cares too much or that he's looking into her life, why even go to her? Like, you know that he's gonna have to do that. Why not go to somebody else?
Because she's not a police officer. She doesn't know that when you're being stalked, the first thing you have to ask is, well, what's new in your life and where do you go? Like, she is much like a person who comes into a... you go to an electronics store, and, like, a person says, I want a Blu-ray... I want a way to play Blu-ray movies. And they say, okay, well, what kind of TV do you have? And they say, I have an old one. So, okay, well, you're gonna need a new TV that plays high definition. You're gonna need a Blu-ray player. You're gonna need connections. You're gonna need the movies. You're gonna need to rebuy those movies. And then they go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't want to buy new stuff. I just want the new things. And that's basically what happened. She's like, I want you to take care of this stalker problem. He's like, okay, well, I'm going to have to know some things about your personal life. Well, I don't want to tell you about my personal life. Well, I'm going to need to know those things to go catch the stalker. Like, that's exactly how it works. And she's just emotional and didn't get it because, you know, she's a little frazzled. She's got a stalker. Her ex-husband is just laying pipe all over town because he's a ginger that's got whisper tough. And shit's hard. The last time she liked a guy, he ended up dead in a hospital, right? 4B. So.
But did she like 4B?
I think so.
I don't think she liked 4B. I think he was just a friend. I don't think, like, she was gonna, like, give him the puss, you know? I don't think she was ever gonna give him the golden ticket, as Dina would say on Jersey Shore.
Oh, wow.
Just finished all 6 seasons of Jersey Shore. You're welcome.
That's pretty disgusting. That's
yeah. Anyways, moving back on. Okay, so there's 2 guys that are in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the witness that they had was going to help identify those 2 guys. So he ends up getting killed, and Anna Gunn's character is able to help. Is basically then told, like, oh, you have to help identify who shot him. So she helps identify who shot him. She's, like, super scared and nervous about it because she thinks she's going to die. So then Kelly finds out from Roberts those 2 guys also had a hit out on his ex-wife.
Well, no, but they found out because the guy who is fingered by the woman, he basically goes, so that chick ratted me out then. Like, he knows who did it. And basically said, like, now, well, she's just not going to be safe now, if that's how we're going to play it. And he said, fine, we're going to put a wire on you, and you're going to go in, and you're going to get the guys to confess that they tried to get, that they murdered him, that they put the hit out. And he's like, okay, like, I don't know how he agrees to that. That seems, like, impossible to get a guy to agree to it. But when he's there, he offhandedly mentions, oh, yeah, there's also that district attorney that you told me to follow and then kill. And then he's like... Right. What? And the Kelly in the van is like, he's talking about my ex-wife.
And then he punches him when he comes back.
And of course, like, there's that point in the hallway where the lawyers are dick measuring, going like, you violated my client's rights when you punched him, and don't think you have any recourse because of this. And he's like, oh, he slipped. And then Sipwood's like, yeah, he slipped on the ice. And then Costas basically schools him and said, he said he would give us anything. He did not mention that he planned on killing a district attorney based on their...
Yeah. Yeah, then Costas kind of defends her and is like, yo, you were gonna murder this bitch. Like, that's not cool.
And one of the funnier parts of this episode, Whisper Tough is in full effect. Because he goes to see those guys at the prison.
Yeah.
And he rolls in and he tells the gate guard, he's like, it's gonna get a little physical in here, but don't worry. And then closes the gate and he lifts up the desk they're sitting at and shoves it into their stomachs and goes all Whisper Tough on them, like, if anything ever happens to my ex-wife, I'm coming in and I'm gonna kill you. And it's so funny because, like, I don't find David Caruso that tough, like, at all. But, like, the way his words were coming out, like, they were trying so hard, because he was like, if she so much as breaks a fingernail, it's gonna be a bloodbath. And I just don't take that seriously coming out of Caruso, especially when he's whispering. And he's doing that, and he's doing that thing where he's bent over, and his head's tilted to the side. Like, he can't...
Well, he slammed the table into them.
He slammed the table, and then he's like this. He's like, he talks to him, like, with his head off to the side, like... I don't know, like a weirdo. Like, he's looking for something under the couch.
He's just a baby. He's just a big old bitch. Like,
oh, I don't know. The guy that played Zeppo, Leland Orser, he's a pretty famous face. He was in Seven. He was in a couple other films. I can't remember more specific ones. But he's one of those faces that once you see him, you go, oh, that guy. I think he was in Independence Day, the original. And he was just, you know, in a bunch of
stuff. Was there a reboot?
Of Independence Day?
Yeah.
You mean the one that's out now, currently?
You mean Independence Day Resurgence or whatever?
Yeah.
It's not Independence Day by itself, so when you call it Independence Day, we know it's the first one.
Kyle, whatever.
I'm just saying.
Be a dick about it.
I'm not being a dick, I'm just being proper about it.
Speaking of proper, in this episode, they have uniform duty for a parade.
And they're not happy at all.
And there's a point... they all have to get down there for uniform check. And there's this awesome moment because the entire...
Wasn't this guy also Leland? I know he comes back in another episode.
I think so, yeah.
He comes in twice. In this episode, is he, like, strung out on drugs? No, that's a different episode. Never mind.
No, he's kind of strung out on something in this because... Basically, he gets fingered out, wow. He gets picked out by Kimmy, and then he goes to the brothers, and he's like kicking. Because he's sitting there, and he's like shaking, and he can't look them in the eyes, and he's like fumbling with his words. And I think the implication is that he is coming down off drugs because he doesn't have money. And he was off the streets for a while, so he couldn't use.
No, then it's a different episode, because I know there's an episode where he... Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get there. Never mind. He comes back later.
Leland Orser. I think I'm probably saying his name wrong. Let me double check it. Leland Orser. No, that's right.
Leland Orser.
Michael Harney, back as Mike Roberts, from Deadwood, as well as Orange is the New Black.
As well as Orange is the New Crack.
And a gun. From Breaking Bad, but in this episode, the through line for Medavoy is that he just can't get his uniform together.
and Sipowicz is stealing his socks.
Well, he thinks Sipowicz stole his socks.
He thinks Sipowicz?
Sipowicz.
Sipowicz.
He thinks that's when your housemaid comes home to like clean Sipowicz's house. Sipowicz, like, you know, the accent.
Get out of here,
he says.
Get out of here.
But they have uniform duty, and when they're
accents now, like we're a fucking vaudeville show or something.
And they're down there for uniform check, and Sipowicz, you know, he's gotten a little.
He's a fat fuck.
He got a little bit bigger since the last time he put on this shirt. And the desk sergeant goes, "Hey, Sipowicz, you better watch out where you point those things." And he's like, "What do you mean?" He's like,
"Concealed weapon."
When those buttons come off, they're liable to kill somebody. And then as they walk out, he kind of gives a smile like, "Yeah, I can fuck with you. I'm the desk sergeant. What are you going to do about it?" But they go to a parade that's Broadway on Broadway. And for like this weird... Like, this weird buddy cop comedy scene that seems like it's out of, like, Lethal Weapon. Kelly gives Sipowicz the story on his wife, where he's like, she asked me to help. And it's, like, really New York, too. Like, when the accents are super high and they don't care because they're blocking for a parade.
And they're just, and they're just standing there really not paying attention to anything.
And,
excuse me.
And, like, everybody's New York accent is on 20, and they're just like, she's asking me to help her out, and why would I help her out if she's gonna act like this? And it's so ridiculous, like, out of nowhere.
It's like when you go to, like, the improv, and, like, it's the start of a scene. They're like, okay, you're two cops at a parade, Broadway on Broadway. And so they, like, cut into it. It's like, so this broad tells me she's got a problem. So I go help this bitch out, and then she's gonna fucking complain the whole time.
Two dudes from California doing New York accents is the greatest.
It's the weakest? Let me repeat that. New York accents are the weakest accents in the world.
What? Okay, hold on. Yeah. Now, I mean, big questions, because I guess we're over the point of the episode. All you really need to know is that Anna Gunn eventually comes back in the beginning of season two. But other than that, I mean, this episode's kind of straightforward with what happens. What big question, what do you mean New York accent is the weakest accent of all? Because technically, I think California's accent is the weakest of all, because it's like a lack of accent with weird-ass words.
We don't have... Okay, so what I've learned living in New York from New Yorkers is that we have an accent, but our accent is that, like, we're chill.
Yeah.
Because I've had people at school, I think we've talked about this before, be like, oh, where are you from? And I'll be like, oh, I'm from California. They just go, oh, that makes sense. And I'm like, why does that make sense? It's like, oh, because the accent you have. And I'm like, what accent? It's like, well, you're just really chill. Like, everything's really chill that comes out of your mouth. You're never really, like, rushed.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not an accent. That's a fucking way of life, bitch. That's how we live in California. We are chill. We are laid back. We're not fucking annoying and having to run everywhere like we're late for everything.
Well, because we know that once we hit the freeway, it's going to be traffic, so why rush?
Dude, if you're, like, when you come back to visit, we'll have to go to, like, Midtown and just stand there during, like, just stand there from the hours of 2 to 4. We'll just stand in the middle of a sidewalk. We'll, like, drink Cokes or something and just watch people just running everywhere. And it's like, are all of you late?
Also,
is every one of you late, or are you guys all just running because you guys don't know how to fucking chill out, you know?
Also, in theory, like, New York, it should be easier to get around because it's so close together. Like, you think about California, like, when there are people that work in different cities and then live in different cities and they just drive. Like, in New York, you live, in theory, like, if you live on the island, it's fairly close, but if you live just off-island, it's not that far.
Like, have you ever seen the episode of Malcolm in the Middle, where Bryan Cranston is trying to become a competitive power walker?
No, I haven't seen that episode.
Okay, when we're done with this, YouTube that. Like, there's an episode where Bryan Cranston's wearing, like, a bike helmet that's, like, aerodynamic. He's wearing, like, a skin-tight, like, bike suit. And he wants to be a power walker, like a fast walker. That's how everyone walks in New York. Everyone just walks fast.
With this episode, because I just read something on the IMDb that I wanted to get to and that I forgot about.
Oh, it's What's-Her-Name's last show.
Who's What's-Her-Name?
His ex-wife. This is the last episode that she's in.
For real?
She never comes back.
Oh, that's weird. Especially because, like...
she's like a focal point of this episode.
The reason she left is because...
So the writers were more caught up in the love story between Sylvia and Andy that they kind of let her and John, like, fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
And they really didn't have a direction for her. And so she kind of was like... voiced her opinion and was like, that, like, where is my character going? Like, I'm not doing anything, blah, blah, blah. So they both sides mutually agreed for her to just be let out of her contract and to let her go. And so she leaves the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, there's a moment with Anna Gunn where she gets the money. They basically play this game where she's like, I want money to leave town to finger these dudes.
Wait, that's prostitution.
To pick them out. And she does, and basically they have
to... Wait, real quick, why would the dudes be getting fingered?
Kyle, listen. So they have to talk to Haverhill to get...
In the butt?
They have to talk to Haverhill to get the money.
That's right.
And there's that moment where he's like, I'm only going to give you a bit of it. I'm not going to give you the whole thing. And she has to do it. And he's like, oh, it's kind of based on the condition that she doesn't have to testify. And he's like, yeah, she'll testify if she has to fucking testify. If I'm giving her this much money, like...
Well, Haverhill's being a dick.
Yeah, Haverhill's just an asshole from the beginning. But there's this other scene where Anna Gunn gets the money, and they don't need her. And basically, they're trying to convince her to get out of New York.
Yeah.
Because, either way, it's better for her not to be there. So she goes, well, you were going to make me testify, huh? Like, she kind of figures it all out and realizes she just got lucky. And then Sipowicz says probably one of the more important things, which was, well, that doesn't matter now. Look, this worked out in your favor. Like, you should take this money and get the hell out of here and not worry about what could have been and what happened. Because that you've been given basically a golden ticket to have a semi-decent normal existence.
Yeah.
So, other than that, is there anything you remember about this episode you wanted to say, other than his ex-wife is gone?
There was one more thing. While you were talking, there was one more thing that came to mind. But I slipped. No, I'm good. The next episode is one of my favorites.
Next episode being not
Serge the Concierge.
Well, it's Sergey the Concierge, but every time you read it, I read it wrong every time. NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com as well as iTunes and Stitcher, and we're on Twitter AsherBrosPod. Enjoy yourselves and find a way to watch NYPD Blue. The DVDs, I think, are up to, like, season 8 or 9.
They're not online, I can tell you that. I've looked everywhere. I've looked at third-party sites. I've looked at other sites, and they're not up. Can't find them.
We're all still hoping that it will show up on a different streaming service sometime in the future, because it is truly binge-worthy and the best show ever.
Well, I know that it was an ABC show, and I know that ABC is owned by Disney, and I know Disney just did, like, an exclusive thing with Netflix, but that was for all of their movies.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know if that means TV shows too, because a lot of their TV shows are up there. I just kind of hope they work it out.
Because yeah, it would be really nice.
Because like, let's be real, that's a show that should not be on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's also a show that
it's like fucking ER. ER should be on a streaming service,
isn't like, it?
It is. I think it's on Netflix. If it's not on Netflix, it's on Hulu. But, like,
ER, West Wing.
Shows like that that aren't on anymore should be on a streaming service. Because not everyone's going to buy DVDs to watch those shows.
Uh-huh.
So why? I don't know why that show isn't. Like, I don't know.
Maybe, hopefully Netflix picks it up, but we don't know. Let's just hope. And later.
Yeah, don't get fingered.
Wow.